Good morning, members. I call the meeting to order. What we're going to do today is talk about how we're going to structure the budget reductions. We don't have our targets yet. Obviously, we don't. We just got the forecast. But I expect them within the week. And so when we get them, we will move fairly quickly. So I wanted you all to have all the background you need in order to do these budget cuts. So today we're going to do on get all the background, and if there are questions that need to be answered for members, we want to get those questions out and answered. So that's one thing I wanted to tell you about. The second thing is Office of Legislative Auditor is going to be doing a report on DNR lands. And that report comes out tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. It'll be on the website at 9. The hearing is at 10. That's an open hearing. All of us are invited. But we're also going to have a joint meeting with the Cultural and Outdoor Heritage Committee, since they also have jurisdiction over the new lands money from the Outdoor Heritage. So we're going to have a joint hearing with them. I think it's going to be at 4:30 on Monday. We're not quite sure yet, but you'll get an email about it this afternoon and let you know. I really think it's important that members either hear it tomorrow at 10 o'clock or in our joint hearing. There is going to be a lot of information that helps us go forward as we deal with the expense of managing lands. So I think that's really important, and I can't emphasize it enough. What we're going to start with is our fiscal analyst, who has been busy, and get some outlines from him. Do we have that overall one in the packet? I think she went to get copies. Okay. All right. So do you want us to start, or do we want to wait until you get that overall one?
I could start on just this long
one. Okay, why don't you start on this long one? Mr. Reinholz.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, although we did have some of this earlier in session, it seems like it's been a while, and now that we're getting into the decision-making portion of the committee, I thought it would be good to just get a review of where the governor's supplemental budget stands right now and what that means in the agency. So if you would, there's several handouts. I'm sorry they're not put in one package and together, but I would speak first to what looks like the standard spreadsheet that accompanies the appropriations bill. The title of it would be Environment, Natural Resources, Finance, up in the top left corner. Just to give you a review of where the recommendations are coming from the governor, the first portion of that spreadsheet is a summary by agency of both the current biennium, the 10 and the 11, and the tails, the out years, the 12 and 13 years. If you look through that, you'll see that starting on line 9 and then talking about the current biennium, which is column G, the governor recommends, and these are all general fund items, a pollution control agency reduction of $731,000, in the Department of Natural Resources a reduction of $2,618,000, and for the PILT payments, they're listed here as a separate line item. Governor recommends a reduction of $1,307,000. Board of Water and Soil Resources has a reduction of $934,000. Conservation Corps, $21,000. And Metropolitan Parks, $112,000. The total recommended reduction then is $5,723,000. But if you recall in the earlier discussion, a summary that we had on the governor's budget, on line 24 you'll see an item of revenue item that $7,336,000. These are the revenues that the governor has being sent to the general fund, new revenues. Okay. And those are summarized over on the back side of the sheet beginning on line 226. Those revenue items in the PCA, the governor recommends $3,429,000 be transferred from the Environment Fund to the General Fund, $297,000 transfer from the Remediation Fund into the Environmental Fund, $90,000 from the Special Revenue Fund at PCA into the general fund. And in the DNR, there's transfers from the Natural Resources Fund recommended at $1,295,000, from the Game and Fish Fund at $900,000, and at the Special Revenue Fund of $293,000. And then in Bowser, the governor recommends a transfer of $310,000 from the Special Revenue Fund and a small transfer in the Conservation Corps of $22,000 from the Natural Resources Fund. So there's the $7,336,000, which does add up. If you go back to the front page, and it'll show on line 29, the net effect of the general to the general fund by the governor's recommendations was $13,059,000. That is approximately a 5.2% change biennium to biennium on the general fund appropriation to those agencies. 2.3% of it is actually from reductions in spending. The other portion, the larger portion, is from those transfers in revenue. That's like an agency level overall summary. And then I'd switch to the page that was just handed out to you, the one sheet that shows the percent, has the percentages by the agency on it. And if you look down, the general fund expenditure change in the reductions to the agencies, as you can see, PCA is at negative 3.5, DNR minus all the opens is at a reduction of 1.8. The PILT was at 3%. Board of Water and Soils at 2.8% reduction. Conservation Corps 2.3%. Met Parks at 1.5. That adds, then with the revenue items down below, adds up to the governor's 13.59 reduction. This sheet then was laid out. If you recall, I spoke to this before, but just to review, there seemed to be a lot of resistance to some of the revenue transfers, and so I was asked to what would it be like if those items were just in straight cuts to the agencies. And that far right column then shows what the exact same net to the general fund as the governor's $13,059,000 reduction, if that was distributed to the agencies as cuts rather than using transfers, what would those cuts be? And these are distributed evenly to the agencies based on their general fund forecast base from the November forecast. Have not yet seen the details on the February forecast, but I doubt that it would change that much. Then what you can see is the changes within the agencies. If you distributed the cuts without those revenue gains, for example, in the DNR, the reduction in the governor was $2,618,000, but if they were distributed based on their percentage of the general fund with no revenues, it'd be $7,570,000. And you can, same thing, you can see other agencies. There's significant shift in where the reductions would be taken if you used a model that's been is using just basically the general fund and not using any of the transfers but cuts. Madam Chair, if there's any questions on that, it might be best to answer that at this point before I move into maybe a little bit of some of the detailed spreadsheets.
Okay, we'll start with Representative Knuth.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And this is just a clarification, so I'm absolutely sure I'm reading these spreadsheets right. So fiscal year 2010, those reductions, are those on allotments? Are those, and then the fiscal year 2011 is the governor's recommendations for a supplemental budget. Is that correct? Or how do I, what do each of those columns mean more specifically?
Madam Chair, Representative Knuth, you're looking at the spreadsheet that I was just talking about?
It looks like you have the first spreadsheet, Environment, Natural Resource Finance.
Madam Chair, and Representative Knuth, those are the governor's supplemental budget recommendations. That does not have the governor's on allotments on that.
So it doesn't include... It doesn't include the cuts we already made for this biennium as we went through our budget, and it doesn't include unallotments.
Does not. It starts.
Okay.
You're correct. It starts with the November forecast base numbers.
Okay. Thank you.
Representative Scalzi.
Thank you, Ms. Chair. And Mr. Reinholz, I guess I'm just curious, looking at the two different ways to do it, one raiding the funds or one making them more cuts than the governor recommended. I'm not sure how long it takes to build up those funds and what would be the best process to use for long-term structural budget remediation so that, I'm saying if we raid these funds now, then what happens in 2012? Is there anything left there to raid, and would we continue to raid funds every year?
I think this would be a good time to talk about TAILS.
Madam Chair, members, the budget solutions have, in this committee and throughout the state, have often involved transferring money from funds to do short-term solutions. Would be correct in saying that that does not help solve a problem down the road in the TAILS. It's short-term, it's a Band-Aid type fix. Gets you through short-term problems with less pain, I would say. It's correct to say you're just putting off. Oftentimes, it's just kicking the can down the road, as everyone says this year, or putting it off until the next session.
Representative Hamilton.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I see on the governor's proposal, we're cutting the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency by $731,000. But I thought we heard testimony that fines increased in the PCA by $1.9 million. So is it truly a cut to the agency?
Madam Chair, members, that it is a cut in the general fund appropriation to the agency. Other funds in the agencies go up and down. Also, you're correct that fines are up in the agency. That was part of the action this committee took last year, where it redirected those dollars to the agency as part of last year's budget decisions.
Yeah, and Madam Chair, and I do think there's somewhat of a huge conflict of interest there, that the agency does keep all those dollars that it collects through the fines. Again, when we're looking at budget constraints everywhere, here they are taking a reduction here on paper, but again, if the fines went up by $1.9 million, it seems counterproductive, and it seems like a huge conflict of interest as well.
Well, there is another way of looking at this, too, and this is part of the discussion we will have. Just because the governor recommended a certain percentage cut from each agency does not mean that that is the percentage cut that we're going to recommend from each agency. In fact, I suspect it's going to be different. So I think as you're thinking this through, you want to look at the last column, too. Mr. Reinholz, it's giving us a perspective by saying everybody has done equally at 5.2% based on the general fund, but that's not the way we may choose to do it. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I understand.
Okay. So that's a part of this is just to help us see the extent of what we have to do. That's why he's doing this. And that's, I think that's important to get the, it's important for me to get the perspective.
Madam Chair, members, if there are any questions on those two, I would move on to what are more detailed spreadsheets, and you should have a two-sheet, double-sided package. The front sheet is Department of Natural Resources up in the upper left corner. What this is showing is just more deep. It's showing the governor's recommendations at a lower level of detail. The first sheets just showed the reductions at the agency level. What this is now showing is the reductions down at the appropriation name level. This relates back to the bill that was passed by this committee in the House and Senate last year. The appropriation breakdown, really what that does is take the bill that was passed and break it down into the pieces in that bill and indicate the numbers that were funded for the Department of Natural Resources through the appropriations omnibus bill last year. What you see in the first column is just the name that identifies the appropriation. And then once again, this is organized into fiscal year 2010, 2011, and the far right boxes is the biennium, the 10 and 11. There's if you look at the first column on the far left, that's year 2010, and it shows what the original appropriation was. That is the appropriation that came out of the omnibus bill from last session for fiscal year 2010. There's a little more information that members asked for that I added onto this spreadsheet. The next column indicates the unallotments that were made by the governor last summer, and also the $800,000 worth of reduction that was in the omnibus bill, but the DNR was given the authority to distribute that $800,000 as they chose. This column reflects where those unallotments happened and where that $800,000 reduction was taken by the DNR. And then the third column is the governor's supplemental budget that was submitted 2 weeks ago to the legislature, and where the details on where the changes are being recommended by the governor. And then the next three is the 2011, and the last box then is the combined two items. And just to show what I was give you an example in of what I was trying to show here for you, if you just take the lands and minerals management section, that would be on the front page, the second section down, you'll see the appropriation titled Lands and Minerals Management General Fund. That's their large appropriation that runs the operations of that division. If you follow that over to 2010 and 11, you'll see that $6 million, $84,000 what was appropriated in the appropriation omnibus bill for that year by the last session. That amount was reduced by $60,000 in the unallotment and agency reduction. Then the governor's now recommending that it be reduced by another $113,000 in his supplemental budget. And if you move down two rows, you'll see that there's also a reduction in that division of the iron ore cooperative agreements appropriation. That has a base of $302,000. The agency and the governor is recommending $152,000 of that be reduced. You go down three more rows, and you'll see there's a reduction of $132,000 in the governor's change request. So what I was trying to do was then take into account both those columns, the unallotment, the governor's supplemental budget. What is the effect on the biennial budget to that division? and that's in the far right column. You'll see there in the lands and minerals, it's a 5.7 reduction in the general fund appropriation for that division. I just wanted to give you an example, and that's the rest of it. It goes through the agency then in detail, showing where the unallotments were, where the reduction by the agency of the $800,000 was, where the governor's recommended changes will fall. Has your base numbers so you can see what the number you're starting with and what those percent changes are. The DNR has two pages. It's actually the first page, and on the very back, the fourth page is the continuation of DNR. And you can see the number I'll point out is the about halfway down there's a row, the appropriation agency direct total. And if you follow that all the way over to the far right, you'll see that if you include the on-allotment, the $800,000 reductions in the governor's supplemental budget changes, what has happened, the reduction of the agency over the 10 and 11 biennium is now $4.6 million. I wanted to put that further information out here because if you look just at the supplemental budget, that was only a $1.8 million reduction. But when you include those other things, you can see it goes up significantly as far as a reduction from the appropriations that were given to the agency in the omnibus bill last year. Madam Chair, there's detail on the other PCA agency
but
in the
just before we go on, Representative Torkelson has a question, and this is a good time to ask these questions.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and to Mr. Reinholz. The $800,000 you're talking about, the DNR reduction, is that's was that spread over the 2 years, or was it $800,000 per year? I'm a little...
Madam Chair, Representative Torkelson, I believe it was given to the agency with the ability to do it over the 2 years. I would have to look that. Someone in the agency could maybe just like.
But it's part of this figure that you're dealing with, both in somewhere in the 2010 and 2000.
Yes, it is. And if you look on the, it was combined in the unallotment and that $800,000. I combined for simplicity.
Mm-hmm.
But it is in both years because I have it in fiscal year 2010 as a heading also. So I'm sure there were some reductions in 10, some in 11. So and it all is in the column titled on allotment / reduction with 80,000 in parentheses.
So
800,000.
So Mr. Reinholz, as a that total figure there of 4.3 million, 4.35 million includes 800,000.
Yes,
but it's spread out over the 2 years.
Correct, and the okay. and the percentage is over 2 years too. It's a biennium change.
Very good. Thank you.
Continue.
Madam Chair, I wanted to give members basically just some information on the structure of these. I could give just some summary information on the other two agencies if you wanted me to. If you turn the page and Board of Water and Soil Resources, what you see here, it's the same structure. It's showing their what was available for allotment, their base budget basically from the omnibus bill from last session, broken out into each one of the individual appropriation items within the agency. And then this one has just the column governor's change because there was no on-allotments done in Bowser by the governor last summer. What you see here is the reduction to the agency from the omnibus bill then on the far right column down at the last row is 2.7%. That is the reduction that the governor had recommended in his supplemental budget. On PCA, which would be the next sheet, it shows their general fund by the appropriations from the omnibus bill. This one, there were on allotments in the PCA. There was not an equivalent of the $800,000 cut that was in the PCA. So it's just showing where the governor made on allotments last July. That's in 2010, that's $125,000. In 2011, $84,000. The next column is just as the others is showing where the governor is recommending in his supplemental budget changes. If you follow that all the way over to the far right where it's showing the biennium, it's showing where the governor's allotments, the governor's supplemental reductions are. You'll see the change in the PCA is a 4.5% reduction from the omnibus bill that was passed last year, a general fund reduction. Madam Chair, that was what I had intended to do. If you needed more detail on individual items, I could do that, or I'd be happy to answer questions.
Representative Hanson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Reinhold's on the Bowser page, where it says floodplain management. Is that area too? A grant to the area too, board?
Madam Chair, Representative Hanson, I would have to either ask Bowser to confirm that. I believe, yes, it is. Bowser's confirming. I believe it was, and yes, it is.
I don't see any questions right now. Members, a couple of things we have to think about. In this forecast that we just got, the out years beyond this, the next 2 years beyond this, the structural deficit is larger than the November forecast. So one of the things that we have got to do is, with direction to us, is to look at those out years as well as the current biennium that we're in. The governor's recommendation to take money from the funds does nothing to help us in the out years at all. In fact, it probably exacerbates the problem because we are still spending at a rate that's not sustainable. So it will be my recommendation, and I think people, as I just talked to people individually, have come up to me, that we do all the cuts in general fund cuts and not cut any of the specific funds that the governor recommended cutting on a one-time basis, because truly it's not going to be one time. We'd have to go back, just as Representative Scalzi was bringing up, we'd have to go back and do that again and again. So the integrity of those funds would be lost. So that would be the first step to think about, and that would be that the all the cuts are going to be general fund cuts. Then the second step would be looking at in which agencies do we take those general fund cuts. It doesn't necessarily have to be the ones on this sheet with the 5.2% reduction. For example, Pollution Control Agency was brought up. It has a very small portion of its money is in general fund. It's mainly in other funds. On the other hand, Bowser is practically all general fund. I mean, that you just look at them and you have to look at that relationship. So the second thing we have to do is figure out how to fairly across each agency do those reductions. And then after we figure out how we're going to fairly do it across each agency, then we get into the more detail and what portion of that agency is going to be cut. We can also talk about, are there things that we need to add to the agency to the bottom line? And that will be another issue that we need to talk about. So with those, members, I'd like to hear from you. Representative Knuth.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And this is, and just, I know I feel like I should know all this just on the top of my head with this committee, but if Mr. Reinholz could maybe remind us where, looking at the PCA, where the environment fund money comes from, remediation fund, special revenue fund, just so we have kind of an outline of that in our head. And maybe the same with the the DNR looking at, I mean, there I know it's a lot of licenses and things, but just so I and members have it in the forefront of our minds of where these various funds come from and maybe some traditional uses.
Madam Chair, members, the Environmental Fund has total receipts of approximately estimated to be $83 million for fiscal year 2010. The largest single item of revenue is the solid waste tax. That's the tax that is on garbage. And it's the collection tax on garbage. Single largest source of revenue for the fund. After that, the air quality fees, $12 million. Those are the permit fees that businesses and municipalities, local unit governments are required to have. Anyone's required to have under the air pollution laws. And then the motor vehicle transfer fee is $9 million. There's a portion of that transfer fee that is paid every time automobile transfers are done. Goes into the Environmental Fund. Other than that, it starts to become, the rest of it is mostly fees paid on individual permits in the agency. Historically, that money has been used in the PCA, primarily in the PCA, in pollution abatement and permitting activities. Also is used in the remediation fund actually gets most of its money through transfers from the Environmental Fund. So the source of money in the remediation fund is primarily the same sources. It's estimated that $21 million will be transferred out of the Environmental Fund into the remediation fund. That is used primarily for cleanup of landfills and Superfund cleanups. That would be the PCA monies that are talked about.
Okay, one just other addition to that. Isn't that where the SCORE money goes from the state to the counties, from the Environmental Fund?
Madam Chair, on the spending side, yes. Okay. SCORE grants are $14 million are listed at $14,250,000 in fiscal year 2010. There is grants out. They're all related to the pollution activities, either state or local. The special revenue fund, I don't have details on the special revenue fund. Special revenue funds are usually dedicated revenues. If the PCA does training, they do training and certification, the funds for that will usually be directed to a special revenue fund and then are appropriated back to the agency for the costs of that training. There are some transfers into there from other funds that are then used for indirect agency and state indirect costs. It's not nearly as large as the environmental or remediation fund. The funds in the DNR, if I could move on to the DNR, are the Game and Fish Fund, and I don't have that fund statement with me, but the source of the funds is primarily license fees and federal dollars. License fees for the hunting and the fishing go into that fund. There's also a large amount of federal dollars that comes in from the federal surcharge on sporting equipment that is deposited and then is distributed to the states, is deposited into that fund. Historically, that has been used and by federal law is restricted in its use for activities related to game and fish in the state. The Natural Resources Fund is kind of a catch-all fund in the Department of Natural Resources. The money that goes into there are the boating fees, the snowmobile fees, the natural, the ATV fees. Most of the other end of the forestry sales are put into that fund. There are some permits that go into that fund, And they are, for the most part, although not necessarily dedicated by statute, they have been, in the terminology that's been used is fund and account integrity for years, where the dollars going in are very closely matched out to the expenditures, so that permits and license fees are historically used for activity related to those permits and license fees.
Representative McNamara and then Johnson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think my question is for Mr. Reinholz. Do we book going forward anticipated fines an amount, or do we book that as zero?
Madam Chair, Representative McNamara, no, we do have estimates on fines in our forecasts.
A follow-up, Madam Chair. And haven't they historically varied? I mean, haven't we had some just really large amounts once in a while historically? So our budget could change a lot if we anticipated a big fine. Hasn't there historically been some fines that are quite large and inconsistent? Or do you want to, Madam Chair, if you prefer, I think Ms. Hollenbach is here, and maybe she could. I'm curious, just I'm wondering what we're anticipating going forward, and is that something, are we going to change that number in anticipation of not having to go to some other areas?
Would you like to come in and help us out here?
Madam Chair.
Yes, Representative Dill.
Well, to that point, I think in the briefing, budget briefing, there was a minus $30 million on fines in the overall budget briefing in the current forecast, and then carried out into the future. And I didn't get any real definition of where that was, or it was kind of it was one lump. Do you recall that?
I do not, but that's something we'll look into now that you've brought it up.
Yeah, I think it was the number was $30 million. I mean, that was the entire
budget. Yes.
And I don't know what part it relates to this, and there was no breakdown, but it was a minus $30 million. So that should make Representative Verkovina quite happy.
Thank you for helping out.
Madam Chair, members, Myrna Hallback, Chief Financial Officer for the Pollution Control Agency. We do in the fund statement estimate penalties that come in. It's based on a five-year average, though. So we do blend the kind of the historical numbers, which have been relatively stable, what we receive in cash. So is some of you probably know, when we do a penalty and a settlement, a stipulation agreement, there is both a cash penalty and then a supplemental environmental project. And so those, we do not receive all the cash of the penalties, even with this. When we do administrative penalty orders, often there's a forgivable component, provided they do X activities and the others. So what we put into the fund statement was really an average of the cash that we received. And it's been relatively around about $1.6 million per year.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ms. Hollenbach, so if you were anticipating significant increase in the future for whatever reason, you wouldn't necessarily show that. You would just use the five-year average?
Madam Chair, Representative, yes, we don't really predict what we anticipate for enforcement, so we're really using the five-year average. If we got more than that, that would actually end up in the fund balance, because we would only be appropriated based on what we have managed. So we can't just spend it because it comes in.
We'd have to appropriate it back out to them, is what you're saying. Am I correct?
Yes. Yes, ma'am.
So they don't get it just because they it's come into the fund. Okay, we have a couple here. Representative Gunther is next.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Mr. Reinholz, I noticed a PILT reduction from the DNR. How can you have a PILT reduction? Are you just not going to pay county taxes, or are we going to sell land?
Madam Chair, Representative Gunther, the proposal by the governor is just to reduce the payments to the local units of government.
Thank you.
But one of the things that Mr. Reinholz has given us help with, he's always doing these nice things, and you want to tell him about the how pill payments work, so we really only have the second year, and the governor's booking something we couldn't do anyway.
Pill payments are paid, Madam Chair and members, pill payments are paid in July for the previous fiscal year, but it uses current fiscal year money. So the July payment that was made last summer is called the payment for the 2009 fiscal year, but we used 2010 money. So really half of the biennium pill payment has been paid and is not available unless we wanted to do some sort of clawback to the local units of government. It'd be very difficult to bring back that money. Just as a side note, that change was done, I think, in someone from the DNR that knows this history better than me told, by the legislature in 1990 in a budget problem. We decided we'd delay the payments for a month in order to save $20-some million. We delayed pill payments that used to be made in June, moved it into July. Sort of the same idea that is done on school aid payments. You're probably more familiar with what's called the shift. Unfortunately, we never shifted that money back in flush years. We could have then tapped it again this year, and it's something that, like I said, I wasn't really aware of and probably now would recommend at some point shifting it back so it's money available for future downturns.
Representative Portman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My question was very similar to Representative Knuth's question. What I would like for us to see is this is great, the specificity, but the same kind of specificity with the different special funds and then the restrictions on it. I think at one time last year when we were going through the budget, DNR did sort of a sheet summarizing each of the funds and the restrictions and which part of the revenue in the fund is restricted. I come into this committee this biennium, not having served in the previous biennium, and my real area of expertise is transportation budget. And we rely on user fees, and there's very little general fund revenue. We spend $4 billion in a biennium on transportation. $221 million is from the general fund. And I think given the major changes in the economy and the budget deficit in the next biennium, we have to look at maybe radically changing the way we do natural resources funding so we're very user fee-based. And maybe there's fees that are collected that are too low for the activity that they're supporting. I mean, for example, the solid waste tax money is going over to remediation for landfills. Well, is there enough to pay for past landfill cleanup and current landfill permitting and oversight operations? I mean, if we have a user fee model like we do with the gas tax and the tab fees, we need to look at whether those fees related to solid waste are high enough. And I know we've looked at this in water extensively. And I think we have to, as a committee, I think, try to get our general fund cut as high as we possibly can. And if we have to increase revenue into the special funds that are user fee revenue to do that, every dollar we cut is a dollar we don't have to cut in K-12 or in nursing homes or hospitals. So I just, the more detail we can get on the special funds and what's restricted and what's not restricted, I think the better job we can do in making the cuts.
Okay. I think we will get some of that. Do you have that right now? Or one of the things I can observe is that one of the governor's suggested cuts was to take money from the environmental fund, which is funding SCORE, for example, and that's money that goes out to the counties. And so the dollar that was going out to the counties when we saw the big spreadsheet, and it said $250 million in cut in local government aids, well, I could tell from our budget that the cut was greater because we were also, the governor was recommending SCORE cuts, for example. There were others that were going right out to the counties.
Yeah.
So that would personal resistance there, thinking that's not fair, it's not honest for one, but it is just nicking the people who are getting nicked the most. So that's one of the other reasons that I think it's important to go to the general fund for the cuts rather than to go to these funds. But I think maybe it would be helpful, and we can get this from Ms. Hallback later because I doubt she has it now. The money from the solid waste tax backfills the money we do not get from water fees because water does not pay its full freight. I mean, that's kind of a basic, and I don't know whether Mr. Reinholtz has more detailed numbers here or Ms. Hallback has more detailed numbers, but we can certainly get those.
Madam
Chair, it does. The solid waste fee was originally intended to pay for landfill cleanup and SCORE grants, and was very closely. I'm not sure dedicated is probably not the right word, but it was. That was the intended purpose. The legislature made a change in that, it was in the early part of the decade. I can't recall the year that uncoupled most of those close ties within the PCA as a conscious decision by this committee, used those dollars and decided to use those dollars similar to the general fund is used. Money goes in from sources and committee makes the decision on how it goes in, and money goes out for uses but doesn't necessarily tie on each little piece. And that was to, the stated intention was to give the committee more freedom on how they spend and raise the money. I could just add the concept of moving to user fees, I'm not sure that's been a conscious move, intentional move in the natural resources area, but it definitely has been the history. If you remember, right now the agencies, the budget for this division this past last year was about $1.1 billion, and $305 million that is general fund. So less than a third, maybe 20, is now general fund. And I would have to go back and look, but in the mid 90s it was approximately 50-50. I'm pretty sure before, in the early 90s, it was probably more general fund than there were other funds. So there's been a gradual movement away from general fund reliance in this committee, primarily because of the scarcity of general funds, I would say, more so than a conscious decision to do that. And if you look at, Madam Chair, just to add that, if you look at, you're talking about imposing fines and fees to collect and dedicate, similar to the highway fees. As in the highway fees, the legislature makes the decision on whether those are dedicated fees. That's changed over time on what is dedicated and what is not dedicated and where it goes. It's now going to transportation. The excise tax used to go to the general fund, now goes. So those things are, even though you say dedicated, it's really decisions made up here that dedicate most of those other than federal dollars. And I would say if you look in the natural resources budget, where are the general fund dollars being spent? One of the largest areas is parks. In DNR, it's parks. So when you're talking about raising fees to cover that activity, what you're talking about is raising park permit fees. If that's the intention, and that's there's always the dilemma is that those areas that are subsidized with the general fund are the areas where people don't want to raise fees. Otherwise, they probably would have fees on them. So that's why the general fund is used there. It's considered a general good item, although that definition changes over time.
I just want to be very clear. I'm not suggesting that for any of the funds or that we not respect the integrity of dedicated funding to the extent we do that with permits and fees. like related to snowmobiling goes to snowmobiling trails. And I'm not saying we go charge cross-country skiers, you know, a surcharge to fund administration, but I think where it makes sense and where fees might be too low and where supplementing with general fund revenue something that could be fee supported. So I just want to be real clear. I'm not suggesting that snowmobiles and boaters cover the general fund deficit, but I think there's other things we need to look at.
I think one of the things that as things merged into the environmental fund and commingled, it was hard to pull that now apart and see how things, you know, are people paying their fair share. And that's one of the things this committee's been working on, and it's been difficult, but Ms. Hallbeck is being more helpful now, and we'll ask for some more detail on that, if that's all right.
Yeah, and I think the DNR special funds are ginormous, so that's a real interest for me.
Okay. All right, next on the list, Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I had a question for Ms. Hallbeck. She
yes.
could come forward, and as she's doing that, I thought of I needed a little more clarification from Mr. Reinholz on PILT, and if he could maybe work through an example. If a payment is made in July for the previous year, and then we have an acquisition that occurs in October that has a permanent PILT consequence, when does that payment, PILT payment, be made to that county, and then how is that compensated? What's the timeline where you have the effect of the acquisition?
Madam Chair, Representative Hansen, I'd have to look at the statute. I mean, there is obviously going to be a delay unless someone from the DNR is here that knows that off the top of their head. There is delay, I'm sure, in processing it. I'm not sure on the specifics, but I certainly can get that to you.
Okay, I had my question for Madam Chair for Ms. Hallbeck. Ms. Hallbeck, earlier it was somewhat alluded to that the agency would have a conflict in going for enforcement dollars, and you had mentioned when you were at the desk previously that, you know, that when you're negotiating a settlement, you're negotiating with someone who's violated the law. You've proven that they violated the law, mm-hmm. and I just want to ask the question, when you're negotiating a settlement with someone who's broken the law, you're not negotiating saying, oh, we've got a deficit, we need to get some general fund money to help balance our shortfall. The agency doesn't do that, does it?
Madam Chair, Representative, no, the way we negotiate penalties to folks is we have actually a matrix based on environmental harm, economic benefit that accrued when, for instance, a permit standard wasn't met or wasn't followed, and then kind of the deviation if there was a history of someone doing it. So it is a matrix based on the violations at the time, and then if we have a repeat. So, and it is not done by a single person alone. Years ago, we created a forum process so that no one person at the agency can make those decisions alone.
Madam Chair. And Ms. Hallbeck, even if there was that occurring and you had a high number, with the five-year averaging, it's going to be washed out. A large settlement would be washed out in the booking of the dollars anyway, if you were trying to see a large payment. Is that correct?
Madam Chair, Representative Hansen, that is correct, that the five-year balances it out. The other part of it is because any extra, we don't try to project and then estimate what we will get. So any extra that would come would go to the fund balance, and it would be up to this committee along with the Senate and ultimately the final budget bills to actually allocate it back out to us.
Thank you.
Next, Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm glad that Representative Portman brought up the issue of fees and whatnot. What I'd like for the committee to do is spend some time in where we currently apply fees, that we examine what the budget is for that particular area so we know what we're paying for when it comes to the fees that are generated. And what are the administrative costs? How many staff do we have? What other kind of costs do they incur in providing the service that the user is asking for? So if we could spend some time doing that, I think that would be helpful.
As we've gone through the budget, we've been talking about those kinds of things. Do you have any place you'd like to target?
Yeah, I do, and I can talk to you about that offline.
Okay, that would be helpful, because that I just heard about 4 weeks worth of hearings, and that'd be hard right now. Representative Scalzi.
Thank you, Ms. Chair, and I'm just kind of wondering in the broader scope when we will be looking at the percentage that this budget has to be of the total budget as is directed by the constitutional amendment that was passed for the legacy money. So we know that we have to continue to fund natural resources and waters as we did in the past, and I think it was 22.5% or something like that. So that we I'm wondering if that was reflected in the governor's numbers so that we don't go below the constitutionally mandated percentage of the total picture.
I don't think that was part of what was in the governor's we got no information anyway that was part of it. What the environmental community testified, as I understand it, is they want to have no greater percentage reduction overall in general fund than everybody else is taking. Since we don't know what that big number is at this point, it's hard to say what our fair share is going to be. But when I looked at a 5.2% overall reduction that the governor's recommending, if we're in that ballpark, that's probably going to be fair across the board. But I don't know that. And we'll ask that, but that's done at a pay grade above mine. And I think that's a conversation we need to have with the finance chairs. Okay. Did you have a question, Representative?
Well, I don't have a question, but I've been kind of sitting here grinding my teeth a little bit in this meeting. I think it won't be a surprise to hear that it's over the pilt. When we have too many houses or too many cars or too many expenses, you sell the cars or reduce the expenses, it's just the way economics work, but yet not here. We continue to buy and buy and buy, but now we tell our local units of government that we, unlike everyone else that owns property, that we're not going to potentially, based on this and the previous attacks on this, that we just aren't going to pay our real estate taxes. And so I understand that my office, like everyone else, has been flooded with people who need GAMC and who need money for it so they can have kids in daycare, so they can go out and work at a minimum wage job, all those important things that are out there. But there's an answer to this, and that's to sell. That there's an answer to this problem, this pilt problem, and that's to sell. But the people around this table have got a love affair of owning land that you can't afford. And it's blatantly obvious that that's the situation. And even when we told the department to sell land, How many million have they not sold? A couple million at least of that 6 million. So even when we tell the kids not to do that anymore, they still go out and do it. So we need to take their car away. Nonetheless, that's all I'll say about it now, but I mean, just how can we in good conscience not pay our own real estate taxes? I mean, that's like telling your kid in college not to drink, but then after you get done telling him not to drink, you go downtown and tip a few and get a DUI. So it just doesn't make sense to me.
Senator Dill, one of the things that I announced right at the beginning I was going to do right at the end, but this is a good time to tell folks again that the Office of Legislative Auditor is going to be doing a report on lands, our management of lands, their costs, including bills. And that comes out tomorrow. It'll be online at 9 o'clock. The hearing is at 10. We all, of course, are can go to that hearing. I highly recommend it. But we will have another opportunity because we're going to have a joint meeting with Representative Murphy's committee that has jurisdiction over the outdoor heritage money, where we are acquiring more lands. It's tentatively set for 4:30, which is Representative Murphy's time on Monday. And we will get an email out to you this afternoon. We will hear that as a committee either then or some other time next week for absolute sure before we go into the budget. I mean, that is just going to happen tentatively at 4:30 on Monday. And I hope you all are here because it would be extremely good, I think, for us to have the interchange with members of Representative Murphy's committee and be able to Representative Torkelson is there, but not too many of us are. So it would be very good to have an interchange with that committee over some of these issues. Representative Dill.
Well, thank you, Chair Wagenius. Well, the committee's going to be really lucky that day because I'll be having my committee hearing the lands bill, so you won't have to have me in that committee harping on this subject.
Oh, no.
Because we are doing the lands bill on Monday at 4:30, which is the statewide lands bill. And so I'll have to catch up with that on the way. But this isn't critical of any one member or even, you know, what I've said here today. It's just it's a ongoing problem that is going to continue to manifest itself in every budget every year from now for a long, long time.
Well, Representative Dill, I hope I see you tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock because I will be there at 10 o'clock to do the hearing because I think it'd be really good. That's why we have these two opportunities because I knew that there's no way you can set up something during the legislative session and not hit somebody, so there's two opportunities to hear. I hope you can go tomorrow at 10. But there is still an interest out there. Yesterday I got a call from a reporter out of the blue who was interested in our proposal that passed this committee last year to set aside a management fee and alternative PILT payment for any newly purchased land. If you remember, people call that the Dill Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
That went to Mary Murphy's committee. It still sits as a live bill in that committee. So that's probably another discussion that I think is getting ready to be come up again. Representative Torkelson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And just to really kind of back up Representative Dill and other comments that have been made here today, I think we've created really a very complicated situation where the expenditures from the 3/8 of a cent additional tax revenue result in many ongoing expenses for the state of Minnesota, whether it's PILT payments or whether it's the upkeep of trails or whether it's hiring DNR people to make sure the land that we acquire is cared for. We're putting a tremendous burden on the future of the state of Minnesota, and if we don't take that into consideration as we make these budgets, we're making a huge mistake. It's important that we do look ahead and look at the results of the activities of the spending of the Cultural and Outdoor Heritage Committee.
This committee has already passed that bill, so I kind of feel like we're pretty much on the same page here. Are there other questions, Representative McNamara?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm just wondering if you could lay out our schedule as we go forward. Are we going to put together your budget just in regular meeting scheduled time, or are we going to be meeting in the evenings? And then when do you expect to have that done, and how will that fit with the future deadlines? I'm just wondering how many meetings are we going to have to put it together, or is it just going to be one meeting?
Representative McNamara, I don't know yet because we don't have the target yet. It would be my expectation that we would, I have asked for folks to make recommendations for what cuts they'd like to see. Nobody has made one recommendation either from the outside, because we asked the folks last time. I haven't heard any recommendations for any particular cuts. But I will, you know, put something on the table, and we'll have plenty of time to go over it as a recommendation, a place to start from. And we'll put it out well enough beforehand before we discuss it, so that people have time to digest it. That's what I can tell you that we're going to do, but I can't tell you what dates right now.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. And again, we were at Ways and Means last night, and if I was reading between the lines what Chair Solberg and Chair Carlson were saying, I believe that we're going to have targets before our next meeting here on Tuesday. So is the anticipation that we're going to develop our budget next week in this committee, or do we know where we're headed?
I can't answer that because I'm just speculating on it. I just can't answer that. We will move rapidly after we get our targets. I can tell you that. We have to. We won't have any choice. It's not the choice I'm actually looking forward to, but I think we have to do it that way. Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And to that point, I hope that we provide ample enough time, committee time, to go over the budget, give people an opportunity to testify on it as well. I think we've had probably about 4 committee days doing on the governor's budget, so I hope we get that opportunity for what comes out of this committee as well.
I cannot but assume it's going to be very controversial, because everybody in theory loves cuts and practice hates them. So in theory, you know, we asked people to help us with this budget, and everybody said, don't cut ours. And I would do the same thing. So the theory and the practice are going to be 2 very different things coming up here. Other questions, members? I think we've given you all the background that I thought we needed to go forward. If there are going to be other questions of background, we'll get some where Representative Portman asked for them. If there are other questions about background that we need, let's please do it before we actually work on the budget, if you would. If you ask me or ask Mr. Reinholz, we will get the information that you need. We have minutes. Representative Purcell?
Yeah, Madam Chair, I thoroughly reviewed the minutes of March 2, 2010, and would move to approve them.
Aye. Representative Purcell has moved the minutes of March 2nd. All those in favor say aye. Any opposition? The minutes are adopted. I see no further discussion, and the meeting is adjourned.